All right, Revelation Road. Man, we got a long way to go. Let me recap a little bit, and then we'll get into some more teaching for tonight. I think I left you, I think it was in verse 1, right, Steele? You're in verse 2 now. But there's something in verse 1 I wanted to show you, I think. Go back to verse 1, would you, real quick? I think there's something I wanted to show you. Okay, I wanted to make sure you understood, which must shortly come to pass. Remember, that doesn't necessarily mean soon. It just means that when it starts to happen, it's going to be a type of quickness. Okay, so I wanted to give that to you. And then what was the other word I wanted to throw at you for understanding? And I don't see it up there. Go to verse 2. Please. No, go back to verse 1. And it's, okay, in the word shortly as well, speedily is another type of word that is used there. So that's what I wanted to make sure. I had it down, but I don't know if I gave it to you last time. And Luke 18:8. I know I didn't give that to you last time. Luke 18:8. It's the same word that's translated. Okay, so when you go over there and look at that and you see it, it gives you that understanding. The reason why I brought that out is because, again, when your theologians and your commentaries of your Bibles were making their points in the book of Revelation, some view that these events had already taken place. Remember, Paul had to deal with that. He dealt with people being fearful, thinking, oh man, you know, Jesus has already come, or these particular events already took place. And it wasn't so, because that's not the translation of that word, okay? So it's speaking of when it does happen. It's going to be rapid, rapid fire, okay? All right, so we go on now to, I gave you the divine order, right? We spoke on that. Make sure I got all this here, because this is the last time we got together. So let's go. I gave you the divine order from God to Jesus, Jesus to the angel, and to John to the church. All right, so go back to verse 1. And he sent, right? I gave you that. They give you the word 649, talking about the apostleship, the apostolic calling. I think I went over that the last time, about it apostolically being sent out. Again, it has nothing to do with a church, denomination, makeup, or anything like that. It has everything to do with the power and the dominion of God sending out apostles, or the apostolic movement, to bring forth the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days. And again, you don't have to be an apostle. That's not what it means. It means bringing forth that word and that truth with dominion, with power, and with authority. All right? And I gave you signified, I gave you that John was means Jehovah's a gracious giver. Got that on your notes? Okay, and then John 10:27. Throw that up there. We could all quote it, but let's look at it together. Okay. John 10:27. Survey says, bing, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So I'm just bringing it into a quick nutshell, because I have so much to give tonight. At the last time we got together, you know, trying to figure out why John, you know, why John? Again, we see that John, you know, in his writings, he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Again, that wasn't being prideful. That was a nickname. That was kind of a thing that he wrote in his letters, and he believed it. Amen. And we should do that too. You know, people get, you know, kind of, I don't know, I don't know what the word is. Sometimes people get a little nervous when you say, hey, Jesus loves me, man, and you know what? I'm his favorite. You're the, people are like, no, man, I'm his favorite, or whatever. Hey, we're all his favorite, right? But when you say that, you realize and recognize your relationship with God, and you're pleased with your relationship with God. That's not pride. That's just saying, man, I love the Lord, and He loves me. Okay? So that's basically what John was up to. We also know that John, basically reverse adoption, he did what? He took care of the mother of Jesus. Jesus said, behold your son. And so he trusted John. And also, John the Beloved, if you will, John the Revelator, he was also the one that had his head on the heart of Jesus at the Last Supper. And so again, we are teaching from the principle that this book, the book of Revelation, is a book of intimacy because it does reveal the end-time ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It reveals end-time events, and it reveals things about the church. And so when you take that understanding and you begin with that foundational truth, as we're teaching now, it changes the whole concept and the whole understanding of the book of Revelation from a scary book, from a book of symbolism and different things like that, into the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and what's going to happen in the last days and what's going to happen on the earth and how we're going to be a part of it. And that God loves us so much that He gave us this information. Amen? It's a wise person to have a fire escape plan. It's a wise person to have contingency plans, emergency plans. And God, through His wisdom, said, hey, I'm going to show you what's going to happen so that when these things do happen, you're not going to freak out. You're going to have faith, and you're going to understand that. So I brought that out about John last time, which again, Jehovah is a graceful giver. Excuse me, that's what his name means. And you know, he picked John, and again, I think that's because of John's love towards the Lord and because of his close proximity. What does that mean for you and I when it comes to the book of Revelation? Well, for any book of the Bible and any aspect of relation, if I'm close to God and close proximity, I'm going to hear things that other people won't. Yes, you will. You can hear things. You can know things. You can discern things. You can see things. You can understand things that nobody else does or struggles to because they're not at close proximity with the Lord. They don't want to be. They just want to go to church. They just want to fill a seat and say, I was there, and do their time, make sure God's taking good time, you know, good punch in the card, he's been at work, you know, Lord, remember me when I get there, I was faithful. And then there's people that want to dig into the Word like the Bereans, you know. Paul was a phenomenal teacher, but the Bereans still studied the Word to see if it was right. Hey, Paul, that's great, man. I'm glad you can, you know, you can preach the paint off the walls and you can smoke it up. Man, you're awesome, dude. But guess what? We're going to check you out. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. But when you're in close proximity with the Lord, He shares things with you. He shows you things. And then as you grow older in the Lord, it starts to confirm the things the Lord has shown you. Has anybody ever had that? You heard things from the Lord and you're like, wow, man, that's amazing. And I don't really hear anybody talking about it. And then as you go on with life, then you hear a preacher say something one day and you're like, wow, man, the Lord showed me that a long time ago. That's being in relationship with the Lord. And that's happened to me many times. And to hear a seasoned man or woman of God say something and go, wow, man, I was afraid to teach that, or I was afraid to say it because I wasn't sure. Well, you heard because you had your head on the Lord's chest. You had it at His heart. And I believe, again, that's why God chose John. And that is the reason why I believe that if we come to this portion of the Bible, as we would any other portion of the Bible, with the realization that God wants to show you this, it will bring understanding to you a lot easier. Now, you can go find a favorite teacher and they'll confuse you. They'll scare you. You know what I mean? And they'll just totally blow things out of the water and blow you out of the water. Or you can walk this thing step by step and see what I'm trying to tell you. All right. So that was I'm still working on last time because now we're in verse 2, which he had said, which we are in verse 2. So let's go there. Who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So we began, who bear. I gave you that word, it's 3140, martyrio, which is from the root word martyr. Okay, but it means to be a witness, to bear witness, to give evidence, or to bear testimony. So Jesus receives the revelation. He gives the revelation to his angel. The angel gives a revelation to John. John gives a revelation to the church. And then the world gets the revelation. But it's the testimony. It's the testimony. It's the bearing witness of that particular revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? So we'll break that down a little more. So he bears record of that testimony of the Word of God. Now the Word of God there in the Greek is logos. Logos, logos. I gave it to you last time. And that deals with, and I'm going to read it again because this is really cool. And it's 3056 if you're going to go study it out. It means a word, not in the grammatical sense of a mere name, but a word as embodying a conception or ideal. In other words, it's not just a word in the general sense of using a word. It's the power of the word. It's the ideal of the word, in the word, about the word. So he's saying, I'm bare testimony. I'm a witness of the power of this word that I'm going to release to you and show you through these writings. Because it goes back and he says he signifies, he's sent apostolically, and he signifies, remember that word means evidence. So now he's saying it again, I bear record, I bear testimony, living testimony with evidence, the power of this word that I'm going to share with you. Because remember, it's no different than with Jesus, and I just use his name for example. You know, I did this last time we got together. If, you know, you use his name in a vain way and just say, Jesus, you know, people do it at work. They don't even know him, and they'll hit their hand or do something. They'll holler out Jesus or what have you. There's no power in that. But when you and I, as believers who know that name and understand the concept and the ideal of that name, when we say Jesus, brother, there's power. Because now I'm telling you to be healed in Jesus' name. Now I'm telling that devil to come out in Jesus' name. Now I'm using that name Jesus for deliverance. Now I'm using that name Jesus and the ideal and the concept and the power that's embodied in that name by speaking that name. Does that make sense? Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, so we can see that again in the Word. All right, just like we did last Wednesday. Matthew chapter 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Now, was he a man of authority? Yes, he was a centurion. He had men underneath him. He had power. He had authority. He knew what that meant. Okay? He knew that if he told his soldiers to go to war or to kill or to apprehend or whatever it was, the command was, they did it immediately. So he knew that. So watch what he says. I'm not worthy thou shouldest come underneath my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He understood that the words of the Lord Jesus were all powerful. He understood that when Jesus said, be healed, his child was healed. Is that right? Whoever was needing healing was healed. They were delivered. The Bible says that he sent his word and healed them of all their diseases. So it's not just a name grammatically, it's the power of that name. So if you go back to verse 2, John is saying that he bears record or the testimony, the evidence of the power of that name. He saw all this. He saw the revelation. He saw these end time events. He witnessed them. And he begins to write them down and says, what I'm going to show you is truth. What I'm going to show you is power. And the power of truth. Isn't it awesome? The testimony of Jesus Christ. So he bears the record of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I gave you the word testimony, 3141, matura. That's M-A-R-T-U-R-I-A, same family of the word martyr. Okay? Remember he said, go into all the world and be witnesses. That word witnesses is martyr. I love teaching on that because I said, okay, y'all ready to die? People are like, no. Well, you don't want to be a witness. Because a witness means to give up everything in order to preach the gospel. So I didn't get a lot of help on that one, but that's okay, because that's what it means. But it's the same root. It's the same word. All right? So it's the testimony. It means to testify. But here's the deeper part of that definition. The office committed to the prophets of testifying concerning future events, that what the one testifies, a testimony or before a judge. Okay? So he's saying that I'm going to bear record. I'm going to testify to the power of that name. And not only the power of his name, but the evidence, the testimony, the witness of Jesus Christ himself. And I'm going to prophesy it. I'm going to declare it, and I'm going to decree it like a prophet. I'm going to bring forth this revelation, and it's going to be in the power of that name. Guess what? When you and I speak this word, and we study this word, we begin to prophesy it. We begin to declare it until it comes to pass. We don't just read about it. We don't just read about historic portions of it and things yet to come. What do we say? Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let it be. Let it be so. Yes and amen. Let it happen. Some people say, I don't know if I want all that to happen. Well, if you want to get to the end, you got to go through it. You know, if we want to get to the end, the other side and get into the glory and all the great things of heaven, we got to go through the stuff, right? Okay, so it's a testimony of Jesus Christ. Now the word in the name Jesus, we know, it means Jehovah's salvation, okay? And then Christ, I'll give you these two. It's 24:24 for Jesus. Some people don't know that. Jehovah is salvation. And the other one is Christ, 55:47, which means the anointed one or the Messiah, the Christ, the Messiah, okay? He is the anointed one, all right? So the testimony is about God's salvation and the power thereof. It's about the Messiah. So it's not just, again, a story of people being destroyed. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation. So we're actually beginning tonight's teaching on that. And then the next words are, and of all things that he saw, all things, 37:45, hosos, it means as great as far as, how much, how many, whoever. Basically, the definition is, I'm not leaving anything out. I'm going to give you the totality of the revelation of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to show you everything through truth, throughout this word, throughout this revelation, this entire book, and I'm not going to leave anything hidden. I'm going to bring it out to you. And I'm going to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do it through the power of prophesying. I'm going to do it through the power of the office, if you will, of a prophet. Very powerful. You say, why does that matter? It matters because God didn't leave anything hidden. He left things in symbolism and things we have to really study and look at, which we will as we go down the Revelation road. But once you get into that understanding, once you see the typology and the symbols, and you begin to recognize and realize it as you go line upon line, you go back into Zechariah and other places, it begins to blossom and you begin to see it and you begin to understand. And then you begin to have faith. Faith to help you do what? Overcome the world. Give you faith to overcome what's going to happen. Because again, many people, many Christians, when they read the book of Revelation, they stop. They freak out. They're like, I can't read anymore, man. I don't understand this thing. And, you know, this is scary. And I've actually had people in certain churches, they don't want the pastor to preach or teach on the book of Revelation. If he even mentions it, they're like, oh, no, it's forsaken. It's not. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. And he'll bring us understanding. But he said, of all things, and I like that. And I love that, actually, because I don't like anything hidden from me. Do you like things hidden from you? I don't. If you're going to tell me something, tell me all. You ever heard somebody, I know I do that sometimes. I'll say, I got something I want to tell you all, but I'm going to wait till next month. I know Flo's like, she's ready to throw a shoe at me, man. She's going to throw a shoe. But, you know, I'm going to get with you. I'll tell you more later. My wife would do that. Something going on in her job, says, oh, I got to tell you something real important. Tell me now. I'm texting her. Tell me now. No, I can't. I'll wait to 5. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. What do you think I'm doing from 9 to 5? Oh, man, I wonder what that is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But he said, I'm going to give you all things. John's saying, I'm bearing witness. I've got the testimony. I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to stand in the office of a prophet. I'm going to declare and decree the whole word, the logos of God, the power of the testimony. I've got the evidence, and I'm not going to hold anything back. And I say, yeah, I love it. All right, so now let's go to verse 3. That's 2 verses. I don't know how long we've been doing this, but it's all right. We're going to be here a while. Here we go. You ready? Verse 3. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed. Woohoo. Is he that readeth. Wait a minute, Pastor. Blessed is he that readeth. So what's your problem? What's the problem with the church? How come they don't read it? I'll get into all this in just a second. Read the whole thing. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and run. No. Words of this prophecy and keep. Everybody say keep. Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, so let's break this down. Blessed, 3107. I'll give you the spelling of it. M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S. Makarios. M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S. 3107. You ready? Here's what it means. Happy. Phil Robinson, where are you? Happy, 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 happy. Come on. Happy. Happy. Read it the way the Bible's written. Happy is he. You know what happy means? It means to be envied. Why? Why would he say that? Why would he? Look, use your critical thinking for a second. We're about to read of the world being destroyed. Burned up by fire. People raising their fists to God. Cursing him with boils on their bodies. Looking for death, and death flees them. All of this destruction is going to happen on the earth. And John begins by saying, happy are you. Almost seems a little psychotic. You know, what's going on with God? He does seem like the mad scientist sometimes, doesn't he? You know, you don't understand. What are you doing, God? Hey, he's under control, man. He's got everything. He's good. He's got it figured out. What he's telling us is happy, to be envied, Blessed is the person that reads this because they're going to get the revelation of Jesus Christ. They're going to get the revelation of the end times. They're going to get to understand the manifested plan of God, the manifold plan of God. You are to be envied when you study the Word of God. You're to be envied when you read Revelation and begin to understand it. Because the Holy Spirit gives you empowerment and gives you the ability to see things and to know things. Because I'm telling you, the vast majority of the people outside of these walls and wherever you may be living right now, they don't get it. They really don't know what's going on in the world. That's why they're turning to narcotics, pornography, alcoholism, psychics, horoscopes, all these kinds of looking for answers because they don't understand. I read a report recently that people are diving into spiritualism and witchcraft, trying to understand the hour they're living in, and we've got the answer. But we can't find preachers to teach on it because they want to talk about, you know, $10,000 sneakers and how blessed they are and how many women they have in an open marriage. Don't get me started. I'm ready to preach for Sunday morning. And the church just walks around just, you know, numb. And the world's in panic. And we're the ones with the answer. And we can't find guys and gals and people. We can't find church folk to study this Bible and teach people and tell them. Because people want to be hooked up to conspiracies and all kinds of wasteful stuff. Sorry. Hi, welcome to Revelation Road. I mean, seriously. And when I read that, I'm just like, no. You don't need to go to some hoodoo voodoo person, some spiritualist. You need to go to the Bible. We'll tell you the truth. Blessed, happy, 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 happy. I love it, man. You say, man, that's, again, Pastor, that's kind of weird. Did you know that there are 7 Beatitudes in the book of Revelation? 7 Beatitudes. This is number 1. We'll get to the others as we go along. What? There's Beatitudes? There's blessings? There's in the book of Revelation? Yeah. You wouldn't know it if you don't study it. You wouldn't know it if you didn't take the time on Revelation Road. You would just follow people who want to use Scripture to freak you out. To make you think the Gestapo is going to kick down the door tomorrow and haul off your entire family. Some people caught what I said. Some people have no idea what I'm talking about. You got to know Revelation Road. You got to know where you are. You got to know the signs. You got to know the landmarks. You got to know what's on the map, the legend, so that you have that understanding, so you're not panicking. You ever driven with somebody who panics? I know we went the wrong way. Just drive, man. You're fine. I know my way around here. Then you get lost. Somebody say, thank God for Garmin. All right, check this out. Not to be blessed with stuff. I'm still on the same word. It doesn't mean blessed as in stuff. Again, you got to say that because when you say blessed and blessings to the church, you're like, yeah, where's mine? Yours is at the end of the week when you go to work. That's your blessing. That's your stuff. It's not that. It means to be fully satisfied. Is another definition. Fully satisfied. Pastor, you're getting all that just from the beginning of this? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Fully satisfied. If I have a void of understanding of where I am in the end times, and I don't understand what's going to happen next, and I begin to read it, that void is gone, and I am fully satisfied. That's what that means. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I'm satisfied because now I'm not worried. I'm not freaking out. All right? So it's based on him and not stuff. It is to make you happy not to have Halloween every day. I wrote that in my notes. The book of Revelation is to make you happy not to have Halloween every day. Because again, if you read it, excuse me, just in the concept of what's going to happen, it's Halloween to people. It's like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to be bad stuff, but blessed is he that readeth. Okay? Here's another thing I wrote in my notes. I can't fight effectively if I'm afraid. I can't fight effectively if I'm afraid. Now, there is some portion of fear when you do fight. If any of us, some of us have boxed before, and well, if you've been married, you have a lot of fear, but in your fight. But there is a mixture of fear. I understand that. But what I mean is the petrifying, paralyzing fear. You don't fight, you do what? Freeze. You ever been in a situation where people freeze? It's like, why didn't you do something? I don't know. You know, they froze. There is, again, a portion of fear, but it's not that type of fright that keeps you. So I can't fight if I'm afraid. So in other words, if I'm worried about the mark of the beast, and I'm worried about this, and gargoyles coming out, and Godzilla stomping on my house, come on, help me, church. The Stay Puff Marshmallow Man coming down the road with Michelin Tire Man and the Blob. You know, I'm trying to think of stuff. You know, that's not healthy. I'm not going to fight very good. I'm going to be more freaking out, saying, "Lord, I'm with you, but man, I'm afraid. I don't know what I'm going to do." No, I have the information. I have the ammunition. I know the Word of God. I know what God says. I don't like it. Yes, I have a tinge of fear, and I have godly fear, but I'm not paralyzed and afraid. And this is how the world harvest is going to happen. The final harvest is you're going to have people who know their God and are going to be strong and do great exploits because they know the Bible and they're blessed. And they recognize and realize when these events come down, it'd be like a checklist. Mm-hmm. Man, why are you so calm? Oh, let me show you in the book of Revelation. Check. Man, you're not fearful? Hey, no, yeah, I don't like what's going on, but check. Here's what's coming next. When you don't have that knowledge, you can't be blessed. You can't be happy. How's that? It's the truth. Okay, so I can't fight if I'm afraid. And then I wrote this down here because it's the truth. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay, it doesn't seem sane. But happiness is at the core of Revelation. Because he began with it. He wouldn't tell you to be something you couldn't be. If you couldn't be it. You can't possess something if he doesn't give it to you. And he said, happy and blessed, envied, fully satisfied is that person. Now the next word is what? Read, right? We got it still up there. Excuse me. Blessed is he that readeth. Here's the word. Greek is 314. I'm going to read it to you or spell it to you. A-N-A. G-I-N-O-S-K-O. You're on your own on that pronunciation. You ain't going to make me do it. No. No. A-N-A. Come on, man. Do it. It's funny. A-N-A-G-I-N-O-S-K-O. Okay? It means this. To know accurately. To know accurately, so happy or blessed, to be envied, to be fully satisfied, is he that readeth, or to know accurately. Do you see what I just said? If I know something accurately, then I am blessed. I am happy. I am to be envied. I am solely and totally satisfied for what is going to come to pass because I'm reading it with knowledge. I'm reading it with understanding. Okay? So it means to know accurately. Here's what I wrote on my notes. You've got to read correctly in order to be blessed by this book. This is why people don't get blessed by the book of Revelation, is because they don't understand it. And they're not reading it accurately. And so they have a misconception. And anytime you have a misconception, then you don't have a proper reception. You don't know how to receive something. And therefore, it becomes fearful to you. It becomes misinformation. It becomes disinformation. And you lose your direction because you don't have that grasp of it. Okay? So to know accurately. Now, one other thing I want you to see here. When he said, blessed is he who readeth it. John was requiring all the churches of Asia Minor at the time to read this openly. At one time, so let me put it this way. At one time in church history, the book of Revelation was read out loud to everybody. Try that in a big cosmopolitan, high step and high church. You're not going to hear it. Now that tells me that not only did John, but through the instruction and the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they put tremendous weight and value on these words, on what was going to come to pass. But for some reason, we in the American church, I mean, we just take this portion. Of course, there's other teachings in the back of this particular study Bible, but we just take this part and we hide it. And we only deal with certain things in here. When he said the blessings are in all the words, but there's a blessing if you read the book of Revelation. And again, this is why the church is behind. This is why we get fooled by so-called false messiah political leaders and other stuff that's hit this country over the years, and false prophets and false teachers who try to lead us into this, you know, this end time teachings. It's because we don't study it. We don't read it. But John wanted it read to all the churches. Okay? So you got to know it accurately. All right, so next word. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words. So I'm blessed when I read it, and I'm blessed when I hear it. You're blessed when you read it, and you're blessed when you hear it. Somebody else say amen. Say that's me. I'm blessed because I get to hear the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I get to hear of the final ministry of the Lord Jesus, the final ministry of the church, and God's total plan for man for the ages right here. Woo! I'm excited about it. Okay? And they that hear the words of this prophecy. So the word hear or heareth, 191 in the Greek. A-K-O-U-O. A-K-O. That was easy. A-K-O, euo, akeo. Here's your definition. Attentive hearing. To hear, to listen, to comprehend. Attentive hearing. So first of all, you gotta read it correctly to be blessed. Then you've got to hear it correctly. You've got to comprehend it. And you can't comprehend it if you're not in the position of learning. If you're not in the position of hunger. If you're not in the position of intimacy, as John began this book, as I began the teaching, because if you don't want to hear what somebody has to say, what happens? Happens every Sunday morning, you know. You preach something, look at somebody, and they're like, huh? Come on now. I like that one commercial with the little stain on the shirt. The guy's having an interview, and the guy's talking to the man that's interviewing him, but the stain's talking. That's what you're doing right now. Looking at me just like that. You just look at this. You're not even listening to anything I'm saying. Just. But here it says the one that has attentive listening. Lord, I'm listening. I want to hear. I want to know. I want to understand. I don't want to be left behind in knowledge. I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to panic. I don't want my family to panic. I don't want to be misled by false prophets and false Christs. Because there's coming a delusion. There's coming a strong delusion. There's coming all kinds of events that people will be drawn away from Christ, drawn away from Jesus, drawn away from truth because they don't know the Bible. They don't know the Holy Ghost. They don't know God. They didn't listen. They didn't listen correctly. I don't know about you, but I don't like being fooled. Especially when I find out. That's the worst. Anybody ever been in a relationship and then you find out you've been with a fool? And then you've been fooled? Okay? So attentive hearing. So let's go on. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. It just went away. That was powerful. Do you see that? It was like, whew, you got to listen attentively. Watch. Hear the words. Guess what that is? Logos. The words. Not the grammatical word, not just words, not just sentences put together and blah, blah, blah. I was never good at English. I was like, see, spot, run. Check. He passed. You all know that prepositions and, you know, I'm like, is that like preparation H? Is that something you should, I don't know. I like to buy a vowel. L, please. What are you talking about, dude? I gotta hammer you guys. Hear the words. What? The words of this prophecy. Hear the power of what is going to be said, and you will be blessed. Hear the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just some facts and figures and symbols and different things like that. Hear the word. The power of that name. The power of this revelation. So it's the same word. Now the next is what? Of this prophecy. 4394. And that is P-R-O-P-H-E-T-E-I-A. 4394. P-R-O-P-H-E-T-E-I-A. Prophetia. Okay? the words or the power, the logos of this prophecy, which means the gift, excuse me, of communicating and enforcing revealed truth. Revealing things hidden. Let me read that again, because that changes the whole dynamics of this particular word prophecy. Because of the way people use prophecy so loosely in the church. Prophecia, the gift of communicating and enforcing revealed truth. All right, let's break that down. Communicating. It's pretty obvious. You speak, you declare, you decree, you write, you dictate, you repeat that logos, the power of that word. But in this prophecy, there is an enforcement of the truth. Well, how is it enforced? By the Holy Ghost, by evidence, by the fact that as you watch the time frame of the last days, and the Bible says this will happen and this will take place, even though there's not a chronos time on it. Remember, chronos is on your arm. That's your watch. That's what's on that wall right there. Kairos is a divine moment of God. It's in between the tick and the talk. It's an opportunity of God, whether it's in season or out of season. The chronos of God doesn't need what the earth would consider perfect timing, because it lives in perfect timing. In fact, it doesn't have timing, but when he divinely intervenes into your time and my time, it's perfect. So the prophecy here is this, that the enforcement begins to come through evidence when you begin to see things happen in the linear, the line of life, the time frame, the chronos of life, and it lines up with this word. You're in a kairos moment. You're in an opportunity to understand the timing of God. That's why I was teaching on Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and I was teaching on the feasts and how that we're supposed to stay in time with God and his calendar. Because to just prophesy something, there's not a lot of enforcement in that. So this is different. This is revealing and enforcing that revealed truth. In other words, John can say, I bear record. I testify before any judge that what I'm about to tell you is the real deal. What I'm about to tell you is going to come to pass. I guarantee it. And as you read this and as you listen, you will be blessed by it. There's a lot of prophecies I heard that never blessed me. Made me kind of wonder what they had. DiGiorgio's or Papa John's? I wasn't sure what they ate that night. But this prophecy makes it feel good, because you know it's going to come to pass. Revealed truth, revealing things hidden. Again, the word revelation, as we learned in the beginning, means to uncover that which has been hidden. So John is saying in verse 3, as we read this and as you listen, watch what he says here. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Blessing will come, because I'm going to reveal those things that are hidden. And they're going to be truthful. All right? So the next is, and keep those things. I love this. Ready? Greek is 5083. Is everybody good? Can you give me about five more minutes? Good. We may finish. I'm going to try to finish three before I leave. Is that all right? If you're taking the bus, you might need to flag them down. Five. If you see a bus run down Livonia, let me know. Because we done went into the future many years. All right, 5083, here's the word, T-E-R-E-O, Terreo, T-E-R-E-O, Terreo. Here's what it means. It means to watch over, to protect, and to guard. To watch over, to protect, and to guard. Now, Pastor, wait a minute now. Now you told me, first of all, you said I'm going to be happy when I read it correctly, when I hear it attentively, the power of this word that's going to be evidential, it's going to be enforced, and now I have to watch over? Yeah, watch me. You want to be blessed? You got to read it, you got to hear it, and you got to keep it. Me? You. Not just preacher man, not the guy that's making money off Revelation movies and books and stuff like that, that most of them are bogus anyways. You. You have to guard it. In other words, he's saying, church. Remember, he's talking to me and you. This was to be read aloud to the churches. You're to guard over these words. In fact, you and I are to guard over the entire Bible. Let no man deceive you. Let no man steal knowledge from you. Let no man bring you in the false teaching. You study it. You find out what it is. You may have differences with people when you're learning things, and that's understandable. You may have a different view and a different angle. But I'm talking about false teachers. I'm talking about people who do things for gain, for financial gain, for profit. Okay, watch this. It's the same word that was used for the guards that watched over Paul and Silas. Hey. Same word. Now, why does that matter? Go back and study Paul and Silas. What happened? Those guards were in there with them. They were locked up in the inner prison. They weren't on work release. They weren't trustees. In fact, they would be considered enemy combatants of the empire. They were definitely a threat to the Jewish financial industry of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were held fast. And if you were a Roman guard and you lost a prisoner, you lost your head. Y'all remember the story? Just breathe. Go, yes. Yes, I do. I remember that one. That way I know you're listening. You're at least awake. All right? Be like Bill Clinton today, man. He was, Bill, it's over. Hey, man, that was good. Good speech. Not as good as mine, but it was good. All right. Paul and Silas. I hear somebody laughing at home. Man, that's funny. Paul and Silas. And the ones who guarded, guess what? Not just Paul and Silas, but the ones who guarded the tomb of Jesus. It's the same word. In the book of Revelation. Yeah. You have to guard the Bible. Guard your heart. For out of your heart comes the issues of life. If I don't guard what's been taught to me, if I don't guard this truth, then somebody's going to come with a false revelation and draw you away at a false prophecy. I'm not following any prophecies. I'm following this prophecy.
That has evidence and proof.
Boy, that'll preach right there, man. That will preach. Because there's so many people that are led astray with these false prophecies. No evidence. Might have a little scripture here and there or whatever. And because they prayed in tongues and goosebumps came on you, you're like, that was God. No, it wasn't. This is God. And if it don't line up with the Bible, I don't buy it. So you could take your snake oil somewhere else. All right? So the same word used for guards that watched over Paul and Silas. I love this. Guess what else it means? And I teach this all the time. You guys hear me all the time say this, but I'll give you the Hebrew comparison is 8104. Shamar. Remember Shamar? What does Shamar mean? My little ones know. Means to guard. Adam. Shamar the garden. It means to keep it. Keep the garden. Adam failed in his duty to keep the garden. It's a military term. It means to protect. And he did not protect the garden. And that's a whole nother teaching on what happened there in the garden. Okay? All that? Yeah, right there. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear, and keep. Guard. Like you'd guard a prisoner, like Jesus was guarded, his tomb, and like Adam was supposed to guard the garden. I said I was going to finish, so can I just give you this foot long real fast? I'm going to try. And keep those things which are written. The Greek is 1125. Grapho. Rapho. Grapho. Where we get our word graphic? It means to grave or to carve. To describe. Blessed is he that readeth and he that hear the words of this prophecy and keep, shamar, to guard. That's the Hebrew part. Those things which are engraved. They are chiseled. They are in there because they're truth. And you can't erase it. I can't erase it. Okay? That cool? Doesn't need really much more explanation and teaching on it other than the fact that this isn't something that you can just erase and move on or add to and take away. Which I know there's a scripture about that later on. I'll get to it about a curse for doing that. Okay? There's a curse for doing that. You don't mess with it. All right? You shouldn't mess with anything in the Bible and take it out of context. For the time is at hand. The word time, 2540, Kairos. Just like we said in the beginning there about the Kairos. For the time is at hand. Not the time that you and I live by. 2021, blah, 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 blah. It is the Kairos of God. It is God's time that's at hand. And that's what makes this teaching so powerful, is because I'm not looking for necessarily the things in the normal time frame. I'm looking for what God is doing in the midst of it all. Does that make sense? I'm not looking and panicking because of what's happened on the earth. When you begin to understand the book of Revelation, you begin to see things and you go, wait a minute. This is part of the kairos of God. This is the timing of God. Also, it means a divine season, a fixed or definite time, the times when things are brought to crisis, and a decisive epochs waited for. Okay? So basically, divine seasons. They're fixed, and they are in a definite time frame. What does that mean? It means this. The times are at hand. I can't change it. We're going to pray, and we're going to fast, and we're going to believe God. It's just not going to happen that way. People just did that with the whole election thing. Just wasted their time. I didn't say you shouldn't pray and fast. I didn't say we can't change things and watch God do great and mighty things. Absolutely. The power of prayer, the power of fasting, declaring, decreeing, speaking the word, absolutely binding loose. I believe in all of it. I'm talking about specifically right here. Pastor, I hear you about the rapture, but I'm still believing pre-trib. All right. See you tomorrow. Is anybody here? Let me get out of here. It means the opportune or seasonable time. Seasonable or the right time. When's it going to happen? At the right time. And finally, at hand, 1451. 1451. E-G-G-U-S. Enegos, E-G-G-U-S, it means it's near, at hand. It also means to squeeze, or to be like a throttle. In other words, when the time comes, the kairos of God, the season of God, it's going to be like a throttle. It's going to be a squeezing of time. That's why I say I'm not worried about the 7 years and all those different things of the linear chronos time. Because when it is the kairos of God, it's going to be throttle time. That's why when people say, well, we're right here in the book of Revelation, well, you know, this is what's happening, we're in this seal. When we're there, you will know we're there. When we've entered in that tribulation time, there will be no doubt about it. And it will be like dominoes. We're in the precursor of a lot of things, which shows us we are very close for sure. Father, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray your people were touched and challenged. Blessed is he that reads, hears, and keeps this prophecy. May we do so, Father. May we listen intently to your Holy Spirit and put our ears and our heart next to yours so we can hear, thus saith the Lord, in this kairos moment. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you.